Well, today we are going to continue what Dave started last week. We're doing a series this month called Hungry. Hungry. Anybody hungry?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. The name of my message today is Only One. But before that, I want to ask you, how do you know when you're hungry? Call it out, anybody. Huh?
Irritable.
Yes, me too. I'm hangry. Yes, when I get really hungry, I don't often get really hungry if I'm being honest, but when I do, I get hangry. How else do you know when you're hungry? Lightheaded. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Awake.
Yeah. Yeah. How else do you know when you're hungry? You do eat fast. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, everything in sight. Doesn't matter. That's true. Stomach growls. Why does it growl? Because it's empty. Yeah, because you're hungry, but because it's empty. Right. Have you ever eaten a big meal and then your stomach growled? That's so confusing. I know it's just digestion, but it's weird. I'm like, no, I just fed you. Stop. You know? Yeah. Yeah. How do you know when you're hungry? Well, we covered some dissatisfaction, frustration, anxiety, loneliness, all of those things can signal hunger. But I think what we need to remember that that's true of spiritual hunger as well as physical hunger. We need to understand that spiritual hunger also shows up in some of the same ways. How do you like that picture of the dog with the bull? Isn't that cute? I found that. I'm like, yeah, that's good. I like it. Because that's how it feels sometimes when we're hungry. It's like, come on, feed me, right? One of the things I loved hearing about regarding Asbury Revival is the hunger that drove people there, that drove me to watch online for hours. Like, I see in the spiritual realm in our country right now, in our world right now, a deep spiritual hunger. And sometimes it manifests as anger. Sometimes it manifests as anxiety. I'm not saying if you have anxiety, it's because you're hungry. I'm saying sometimes if you're hungry, it leads to that. Okay? But I heard a testimony from a pretty well-known pastor from Southern California, and he pastors a large church, and he traveled to Asbury, and he said, I found myself standing out in the very cold temperatures for 4 hours. Now, when you're from a warm place and you go to a cold place, you have a much lower tolerance for it. I learned that when I moved to Florida for a while. My blood thinned out very quickly. And when it dropped, I'm not exaggerating, when it dropped to 50 one night in Florida, I was like, this is ridiculous. And of course, now living in Ohio, I'm like, put on the shorts, it's 50 degrees, you know? But he said, I stood out in the bitter, blowing cold. I didn't have the right clothes for it because I never need the right clothes for it. And I stood out in the cold for 4 hours. Why? Because I was hungry. I was hungry for the Lord. I was hungry to see what God was doing in the midst of those students. I was just so hungry, and everybody around me was hungry. And I was like, and I heard that testimony after I chose the theme for this month. I feel like we are in a beautiful time in our world that we are hungry. And I think it's spiritual things. And I think sometimes we don't realize it's spiritual things, but it is spiritual things that we hunger for. So today I only have 2 points to my message. Number one, hunger is a gift. Hunger is a gift. We don't always see it that way, but it is. Deuteronomy 8, 1-3 in the International Children's Bible today, because it's family worship, says this, carefully obey every command I give you today. Then you will live and grow in number, and you will enter and own the land the Lord promised to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God has led you in the desert for these 40 years. He took away your pride. He tested you. He wanted to know what was in your heart. He wanted to know if you would obey his commands. He took away your pride, repeated. He let you get hungry. Then he fed you with manna. Manna was something neither you nor your ancestors had ever seen. This was to teach you that a person does not live only by eating bread, but a person lives by everything the Lord says. Now that word live in that passage in the original Hebrew means not only to remain alive, not only that, that's part of it, but it really means to thrive in your soul. Soul includes your mind, your body, your will, your emotions. To thrive in your soul. The only way, God said thousands of years ago, the only way you're going to thrive is if you eat my words, if you consume my presence. I am so convinced that we will never be our authentic self. Being the one that God created us to be until we learn to eat the bread he offers. Until we learn how to hunger for the bread that he offers. So why is hunger a gift? Sandy, why do you say that hunger is a gift? Because I think it's found in that passage right there. Because hunger reveals what is deep in our hearts. What are you craving? I'm craving a fuller savings account. I am too. But that's not the deepest craving of my heart. Hunger has a way of showing us what we're craving. Hunger also reminds us of our base need for and dependence on God. God says, I took away your pride. How did he do that? By letting them get hungry. Sometimes we don't recognize we have pride in our lives because we're constantly feeding ourselves from all the wrong sources. And God says, I began to show you in my kindness, in his mercy, in his kindness. He lets us get to the place where we go, yeah, that does not satisfy. Lasts for about 5 minutes. Have you ever craved a certain kind of food and you didn't know what you were craving? You're like, I have a taste for something, but I'm not sure what it is. That's really a recipe for disaster for me. Because then I hit everything in the pantry. Is that it? No. Is that it? No. Is that it? Then I go to the freezer. Is that it? No. Fridge? No. It's bad. It's bad. And that's what we do in the spiritual realm. I'm craving something. What is it? And God says, I love you enough to let you get hungry. I love you enough to show you when you taste this. No, that's not it. Is that it? Yeah, well, that tastes good, but no. 2 minutes down, you know, later. Hunger reminds us of our base need and dependence on God. Hunger shows us that nothing else can fill the holes in our hearts besides God. Hunger shows us that. What a gift. I don't think God does that out of anger or out of authoritarianism or out of anything else except his kindness. Because you know, he created you. Whether or not you believe it, he did. He created you. So the one who made you knows what satisfies you best. So you're trying this, you're trying that, you're trying this, you're trying this. And he just in his kindness goes, okay, I'm gonna let them figure out that doesn't work. He doesn't strike us because we're trying. He's like, I'm gonna let them figure out that's not gonna work. One of my sons, oh my goodness, so independent when he was little. And he wanted to tie his shoe long before he had the dexterity to do it. And he would get so angry because he would do the strings and in some other kind of way, and he would try it, and then he would just scream and get frustrated. And I'm like, are you ready for help? No, I do it. Okay. And I had to sit back and let him figure out he couldn't do it. And then he would come to me, can you help me? Because nobody likes to ask for help, right? We all have pride. That's why God said, I took away your pride. We all have pride that we deal with and we struggle with, and we want to do it ourselves. But God lets us get to the place where we recognize, oh, that doesn't satisfy. Over in Luke 4, 1 through 4, it tells us that this about Jesus. It's interesting. Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. The Spirit led Jesus into the desert where the devil tempted Jesus for 40 days. Boy, you can take that apart. I don't understand that. The Spirit led Jesus to be tempted by the devil. Okay. When those days were ended, he was very hungry. Anybody in here ever gone 40 days without food? Not me. I did a total fast one time for 3 days because the Lord told me to, and I obeyed. I was hungry after 3 days. I can't imagine 40 days. The devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell this rock to become bread. Jesus answered, and he quoted the scripture that we read from Deuteronomy. It is written in the scriptures, a person does not live only by eating bread. In that passage, in the Greek, because it's New Testament, live means more than just existing. Some of us have been existing day to day. We go to bed, we sleep or try to sleep, and get up the next morning, and we fight through another day, and we feel like we're on a perpetual loop, right? Somebody get me off this. It's not even a roller coaster. It's a Ferris wheel. Again and again and again. That is just existing. That is not living in the adventure we want to live in 23. When Jesus said this, live there means to live in the highest eternal sense, to have your unique qualities communicated to you by your Creator. I'll tell you a story. I might have told you this story. I can't remember if I have or not. I'm at the age where I can't remember where I've told stories. It's so sad. Sorry. So just put up with it if you've heard it. When I was in 11th grade in high school, now I went to a big high school, so I was kind of shy. I don't know. I lost myself in junior high. And then high school, I started coming out of it, but I was still pretty shy. And I'm sitting in 11th grade history class where there's a coach who's teaching. Now, in those days, coaches could not be coaches unless they also taught a class, at least. That's a bad plan because somebody who's gifted in coaching is not necessarily gifted in teaching. Okay, but anyway, he was a coach, nice guy, I really liked him, but so bad as a teacher, so boring. We watched 100 movies in that class, like so many movies all the time. I have a gap in my learning in American history because of him, sorry. I really do, until I homeschooled. That helped a little bit when I homeschooled my kids, but I'm sitting in class one day, and I'm bored out of my mind, but I'm trying not to show it because I'm shy. I like to blend in high school. Like, I don't want attention drawn to me, you know? And he's doing a review for midterms. And out of the blue, he looks at me, and he calls me by my last name, which was a maiden name then, of course. And he goes, Sisk. And I go, what? And he goes, get up here. And I go, what did I do? Like, that was terrifying. Out of the blue to have your name called, your last name called by a coach. What is he going to do? Like, and I go, what? He goes, just get up here. And then He takes the papers he's trying to lead the review from, and he gives them to me, and he goes, "You lead the review today." What? He goes, "Go ahead." I can't tell you. I can't even describe what happened in that moment. It was like this other person took over me, and I casually moved everything to the side of his desk and plopped down like I owned the place. And I started leading the review. And the craziest part of all was I liked it. Like, I enjoyed it. I was having so much fun, and I was completely unprepared. I was just 100% spontaneous, just flying by the seat of my pants, but I was flying. Like, I was having fun. And I remember these two really good-looking football players walked down the hall, and they looked in at me, and they were like, "Whoa, who's that?" And I'm like, that was an out-of-body experience. And after it was over, I sat down and I was like, "Huh, I didn't know that was inside of me." That was the very first time in my life I ever stood in front of a group and did anything besides play the piano. But I mean, as far as teaching, that was the first. And it was like God used that moment to reveal something to me about me that I didn't even know existed. And I was like, I kind of like that. I heard the story one time of Jerry Seinfeld when he was like 5 years old. He's sitting on the back porch with his good friend, and he was saying something funny, and he said something so funny that his friend spit out his milk and cookies all over Jerry. And Jerry was like, "I think I want to do this forever." You see, that's what the Creator does. He shows you, he unlocks something inside of you and goes, "This is what you were born for. This is what makes you tick, and you didn't even know it." If we're going to live at our highest potential, if we're going to thrive in our soul, we have to be willing to understand that we don't live in that way by any other thing besides what God does and what God says. That's what we do. But you see, the thing is, to get your deep hunger satisfied requires surrender to the one who made you. It requires coming to a place where you go, "Wow, I thought I knew me, but I really don't. You know me best. Show me, me." So I can thrive. Point number two, only one truly satisfies. Only one. In Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, one of my favorite passages, the Lord says, "All you who are thirsty, come and drink. Those of you who don't have money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. You don't need money, it will cost you nothing. Why spend your money on something that is not real food?" Ooh, I wonder how many of us in this room are spending money on things that are not real food right now. My hand is up. Why work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? Listen closely to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the food that satisfies your soul. Sometimes we just need to get to the place where we admit that we're hungry and thirsty. That we agree to stop trying to dig our own wells to satisfy that deep hunger. Surrender to God and trust Him to give us what will really satisfy us. And then be brave enough to receive His love and guidance. In Isaiah 58, 11, it says, "The Lord will always lead you. He will satisfy your needs in dry lands. He will give strength to your bones. You will be like a garden that has much water. You will be like a spring that never runs dry." If you're thirsty today, if you're hungry, turn to God. That's why I ended the worship with having you say Jesus. Because sometimes we just need to admit, okay, Jesus, I need you. I can't be satisfied in any other way but through you. It's interesting. In John, we see that Jesus brings this truth forward in the New Testament, which I always love when you see the parallel truths in the Old and New Testament. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Moses was not the one who gave you bread from heaven. The people, some of the Pharisees had said, give us bread from heaven like Moses did. Jesus said, news flash, that wasn't Moses that gave you that. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. God's bread is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people said, sir, pull us up, belly us up to the Golden Corral buffet. Not quite, but sort of. They were like, give us this bread always. That thing you did back on the mountain when you fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, do that all the time. We like that one. And Jesus is just like, zoinks. He said, I am the bread that gives life. You think you're looking for bread and you're really looking for me. You think you're looking for drink, but you're really looking for me. You think you're looking for extramarital relationships, but you're really looking for me. You think you're looking for a better job, but you're really looking for me. You think you're looking for the perfect family, but you're really looking for me. Not me, Sandy. Jesus is saying this. Him. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you before, you have seen me and still you don't believe. How sad, I believe there's someone in this room right now. You've heard about Jesus. You have seen him. And you just will not believe. And you're at a crossroads and you think by not choosing one way or the other, you're safe. But not choosing is a decision. And God in his kindness and love is prompting you. Choose this day. What are you going to believe? Choose today. What are you going to believe? Hunger is a gift, but only one truly satisfies. Only one truly satisfies. You know, I just want to do a prayer right now. And if you feel so inclined, repeat after me this prayer. God, I admit that I'm hungry. I see that I have tried to satisfy that hunger elsewhere. But nothing works for more than 5 minutes. I come to you in surrender and ask you to fill me as only you can. You created me. You know me from the inside out. Fill my heart with your love. I will stop questioning whether or not I deserve that love. I just embrace what you offer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're feeling hungry, turn to the Lord and say, fill me. Whatever that looks like, I'm not going to tell you what to make it look like. It can be quiet. It can be loud. It can be still. It can be crazy movement. It doesn't matter what it looks like, God. I'm just hungry for you. I'm hungry for you. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to share something with you today. Actually, I was talking to Rhonda about it, and she said, you should share that. I go, that's a good idea. I think I will. So every month, we give a portion of our income to support 6 different organizations, missions organizations, and under-resourced organizations, okay? But in addition to that, we choose, Linda and Stephanie and I sit down every month and we say, who do we want to bless this month? And it's usually another missions organization, or it's one we already support. We just feel like we're supposed to direct a little bit more to them that month. Whatever. You know, one month we blessed Rhonda's great niece, Amber. We pray and ask God, how should we use these funds? And this coming month, I've been feeling pretty strongly that we should find a way to support the people of Turkey who've come through the earthquake. So I have a little video to show you of an organization we're going to send our funds to this month, coming up in a few weeks at the end of the month. And it's called Hope. What is it called? Hope Force. So do you have that video, Ron? Perfect. Ron, I called you Ron. Sorry, Ron.
We were sleeping on the bed and suddenly it was shaking too much. We tried to escape, but actually this door was blocked. You can see it over by the stairs. We tried to open the door, but we saw the first floor wasn't there and we were on the ground. We escaped from this building through the wall. The earthquake was very powerful and it was scary.
This is Joey Saltzfus with Hope Force International, based in Brentwood, Tennessee. And we're here in the city of Adiyaman. We're on one of the main drags here. And as you can see behind me, the incredible damage. This is throughout the whole city here.
No one is here because the buildings are destroyed. And even there isn't electricity. It's like a ghost city. No one here in the town. For me, helping the people is more important, you know. Because they really need help, and they cannot do anything with this because they completely lost their business, houses, or something else.
Last night, we just finished one house up in the village, and then we ran over in town here in the city, and there was about 10, 11, 12 of us hustling. We were hustling, using flashlights, any kind of lighting we could to put up a structure for this family that, again, was just in a devastating situation. They're living on the streets here in tents or with family. This at least can provide them something. And these shelters can last for months, years. They could last for a long time. And they can also be relocated because of the way that they're put together. We're finding these materials locally, so that cuts down on so many costs. It's a very well-engineered structure, and it will provide for them a safe place. There's many other places like Adiyaman throughout Turkey that are dealing with this deep devastation.
I'm very thankful for you and the shelter that you provided. It was very helpful to us, and we're grateful for the food as well.
Hope First, really, I am so thankful for you guys and all aid association like Hope First. And you came here and give some hope to people. And the most important thing is hope, like your aid association name, Hope Force. And also you gave a lot of like accommodation, like tents and some shelters. We are really thankful for you guys. And I know you are doing so good and you are doing your best. Don't worry about you are doing best.
That's a worthwhile organization. And I love working with organizations that don't just send money, but they actually go and put boots on the ground. Actually, they have a plan that you can volunteer with them after getting trained. You can say, I want to go. Next time you go somewhere, I want to go. So they really work with a lot of volunteers, and a lot of what we send them will be applied directly to these temporary shelters to help people in Turkey. So I just wanted to share that with you. Your giving makes a difference. Bigger, much bigger than you can imagine. And I thought it would be an encouragement to you to know that we are strategic in going outside these walls and helping other people with the funds that you give. So I want to pray over the offering after that. God, we thank you for those who give so faithfully and so generously. And I thank you for organizations like Hope Force that see a need and just rush to meet it. They're like the white blood cells of the body of Christ. And I love that. And they rush to any part of the body that needs help. And they give your love so freely to everyone. And I pray that you would bless them, and thank you for what we're able to send them at the end of this month. But also thank you that you're going to multiply it like the loaves and fishes and really be a blessing to that organization as they do your work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Yep. Yes, if you want to give more, she said, than your tithes and offerings. Sometimes I set aside part of my budget and I'm like, I've already done my full tithe, but I want to have this on hand to bless somebody. So yes, you can designate it on your offering. Just put hope. If that's easy to remember, just put hope. And we'll add it to whatever we're going to send. That would be great if you want to participate in that. Thank you, Rhonda. So you lost an hour of sleep last night, but you stayed awake and you got here on time. But guess what you gained today? A donut. Yes. I brought donuts from Nick's today. I've been telling you I was going to, so I fulfilled my... Poor Bill, he was like, how's it compared to Dunkin'? I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. You are sad. You are just so sad. I said, I'm going to introduce you to something brand new today. So enjoy. They were so sweet because they just opened up a place on my street, I told you. So a lot of people don't know they're there yet. So when I called and ordered 4 dozen, they were like, woo, right? So when I picked them up, she was like, thank you so much for supporting us. I'm like, absolutely. So enjoy a donut today and some coffee. Next week, we'll continue with hunger, lesser things. And ladies, if you have your t-shirt order form, give it to Stephanie. I didn't know if you'd be here or not.
Yes. If you still want to go to the retreat and you haven't signed up, don't let money be an issue. Please see me and we will get you situated. But I do need you to see me today for some final counts.
Sounds good. Thank you, Stephanie. You're welcome. Have a great day. Enjoy your donut.